Good morning. Certainly good to see everyone this morning. It's a beautiful day outside, and certainly there's no better place than we could be than in the Father's house to worship Him and to study another portion of His Word. This morning, for a short time, we're going to speak on the subject of As a Child, and this is going to be a little different than you might expect from the title, but it's something that I think it's important for us to discuss and to think about. Our text this morning comes from Matthew chapter 19, verses 13 through 15. Then were brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, Suffer little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed thence. This is an interesting passage of Scripture. We see that Jesus, as we know, Jesus has come into the world to teach the Jews first and eventually all men through the teaching of the apostles and the disciples about His kingdom and His Father's home in heaven and the things that we need to do to get there. And it's kind of interesting that His disciples would try to chase the children away or keep them away from Jesus. Perhaps they felt that Jesus' mission and His teachings were so important that it only be given to adults or those who could understand, and maybe they felt the children would be more of a disruption than anything else. But as any of us who have been parents realize and know, it's very important for our children to be brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The Scriptures teach us that. Common sense teaches us that the more they're exposed to the Word and the truth, the more likely it is to have an effect on their lives. But this morning what we want to speak of is the fact that Jesus compared children to those who would accept His teachings. Throughout the Scriptures we see that the Holy Spirit inspired men to fill these words with references to how we must become as children in order to be acceptable unto God, and that as His children we need to examine the world with the new eyes and new understanding, and we realize that when we become baptized, we come up out of the water of baptism as a new creature, just as a new child is born, as Jesus described it to Nicodemus as being born again, as if you're brand new in the world, and your thoughts and your focus should be on learning the things that God would have you to do and then applying those things in your lives to be a good Christian and a good example to others. So this is the thing that Jesus desires of us, that we become His children. And we're going to talk for a short time this morning about children and some of the things that we can learn from them. Usually when we give lessons such as this, it's all about reminding the children to obey their parents or reminding parents to bring their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, things that we're to teach our children. But this morning for a short time we're going to look at some of the things perhaps that children can teach us or remind us of things that we need to think about. Before we continue with our lesson this morning, however, though, we have an opportunity to go to God in a word of prayer, to make our wants and petitions known unto Him, and to offer the thanksgiving for the many blessings that He has bestowed upon us, remembering those that were mentioned in the announcements who need the prayers of the church. And won't each of you humble yourselves now and direct your attention to the one that's been selected as he goes to God on our behalf. Mark chapter 9, verses 35 through 37. And he sat down and called the 12, and saith unto them, If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all, and servant of all. And he took a child, and set him in the midst of them, and when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them, Whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth not me, but him that sent me. Here again we see where Jesus talks about the importance of children, the importance of acknowledging their existence and how important it is that we be like them. As I mentioned earlier, any of us that are parents realize that a child, especially a young child, a newborn, and up through the formative ages, through the 4 and 5 and 6, a child is like a sponge. They're really like that until they get to be teenagers and get ornery. But when they're young, they're like a sponge and they absorb everything around them, and this is why it's so important for us to be mindful of that. And we realize that a child at that early age begins to learn all the things that it will require for the rest of its life, how to take care of itself, how to dress, how to speak, and all these things. And it's very important for us as parents and as those who care for children and are examples to children, to do the things that will cause them to grow up to be good people. And as such, this is also what God wants and expects of his followers, to become, as we said, his children again, and to become a sponge just as we were when we were children. Only now what we're learning is the Word of God. We're studying the Scriptures. We're attending the services of the church each and every time that we possibly can. And we're desiring constantly to learn what it is that God would have us to do, and living a life that's reflective of what the Scriptures teach. And we realize as Christians we have to, often we have to relearn how to live, especially if we're converted at an age when we're already an adult. We're going to have patterns in our life and habits that we have that are contrary to what God teaches. And it's important for us to realize that we have to relearn how to live, so to speak, in order to live according to the Scriptures. We have to adapt a new moral code, a new way in which we live and deal with things, and a new way of life. And it's very important for us to realize that. Thinking about this, we may wonder why Paul made the following remarks, as we read in the 1 Corinthian letter, chapter 13 and verse 11. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Here we realize, of course, that Paul is speaking about physical things and not spiritual things. God doesn't expect us to behave as a child physically or emotionally, but certainly spiritually. We must become as a child and begin to learn and absorb the things that the Scriptures teach us to do. Paul, we realize as we study a little bit about this man, he was raised as a Pharisee. This is one of the strictest sects of the Jews. They were very particular about adhering to the different laws of the Old Testament and the ordinances, and unfortunately traditions that have been passed down from generation to generation. They were extremely zealous in their work and in their teaching, and in trying to adhere to the things that God would have them to do. We see this exemplified in the fact that Paul, when he was still known as Saul of Tarsus, when it sought about to try to destroy the church that Jesus had taught was his kingdom, and that his apostles were and disciples were attempting to establish, Paul zealously went about trying to destroy that because he thought it was the right thing to do. And so we see that he was a very serious man. He realized there was no room for play or entertainment in the daily functions of life. But as we said, God doesn't expect us to behave physically or emotionally like children, but spiritually we should become as newborn babes, as the Scriptures tell us, desiring the sincere milk of the Word, to learn the things that He would have us to do, and to become strong and to grow. And this is something that's important not only for young people who come into the church, but no matter what age we are, when we accept the truth, when we take the steps of salvation and become baptized, we need to spiritually become, as children once again, children that desire to learn and do the things that are pleasing to God, just as children we try to attempt to do the things that would please our parents or those who are raising us. I'm sure that we have all of those of us that have teach, have given, and I'm sure everyone has heard plenty of lessons on, as we mentioned before, children obeying their parents, or on how parents are to raise their children in the church. These things are certainly important lessons, and ones that are vital, and ones that we should pay heed to every time they're given. But that's not necessarily going to be how we're going to bring the message today. We want to look at what some things that children can teach us. And the idea for this lesson actually came about from an email that I got concerning questionnaire a survey that was done from children between the ages of 4 and 8, and they were asked a question: what does love mean? And I'm sure that there were hundreds of children that were asked this question, and the choices or best or most compelling answers are the ones I'm sure that were passed on in this email. I'm sure there were some whose answers weren't as profound, but certainly it reflects the fact that that we have a lot to learn from children. We have a lot to learn from turning back our own barometer, so to speak, and reflecting on things that I think we lose a lot as we grow up. And we need to learn, as Christians, we need to realize that we're always students. This is one of the things that Joy tells people a lot when they ask her about her ability in art. She says she's always a student. She's always learning, and that's the only way you grow. Any kind of talent that people have, whether it be art, music, anything creative, any of them that don't have an ego will tell you that the more you learn, the better you get. The more you practice, the better you get. And in nothing is this more true than being a Christian. The more we learn about the Bible and what it would have us to do, the better people we become, the easier it becomes for us to resist the temptation and evil that we find in the world, and the better example we become to those around us. We're going to look at some of the things that these children said, and then we're going to follow it up with some scriptures that show that children, I think, have a much keener awareness of what it is that God wants us to do than most adults that I know, anyway. And it's surprising the things that they said, and it's humbling because it shows us all, I think, that we have a lot to learn from places and sources that we may not expect to find any awareness, and that, of course, is in children. The first thing I'd like to read, this is from Rebecca, age 8. When my grandmother got arthritis, she couldn't bend over and paint her toenails anymore. So my grandfather does it for her all the time, even when his hands got arthritis too. That's love. I'd like now to read from Matthew chapter 15, verses 3 through 6. But he answered and said unto them, Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. In this passage, Jesus is chastising the Jews who they had come to him, and as they often did, they tried to trap him into admitting that some of the things that he and his followers did were contrary to the law of Moses and the teachings of the Old Testament. And they were referring to the fact that his followers didn't wash their hands before they ate. And Jesus countered with the fact that the Jews were not taking care of their parents like they should, and they were telling their parents that the money that they could have used to help them, they were giving as alms to the temple. And this, of course, Jesus realized wasn't true, and he was kind of turning their questioning back on them by saying that they weren't doing the things that the law of Moses taught. And one of those things was to honor the father and mother, and not only that, it's to honor others. It's very important for us as Christians to realize that one of our responsibilities is to help others, especially those of our family and those of the church. I'd like now also to read from Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Here we see the beginning of the church that we are members of today. We see that these people band together. They sold off things that they didn't need, and they used the funds to help others who were in need. This is an obligation that the church has today that's passed on even today. After we have the communion this morning, we pass around the plate. We collect, we give of our means to not only help the congregation here, but to help others who are in need. This is part of being a Christian. This is part of the love that we are to have one for another, and a love that was exemplified, this girl thought, in the fact that her grandfather was willing to do something for his wife that she was no longer able to do herself. And this is something, if we love each other and we love our brothers and sisters in Christ, we will make sacrifices in order to help them. And this is something that God expects of us, and something that if we do it, we are good examples to others. The next passage I'd like to read is from Chrissy, age 6. Love is when you go out to eat and give somebody most of your French fries without making them give you any of theirs. And I'd also like to read from Lauren, age 4. I know my older sister loves me because she gives me all her old clothes and has to go out and buy new ones. This we can relate to Matthew chapter 25, verses 35 through 40. For I was a-hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw thee a-hungered, and thee fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. I think most people don't realize, most children don't realize how much their parents or those who raise them do for them until they have to go out on their own and start assuming these responsibilities for themselves, when they have to start paying for their own car insurance and paying for their own food and clothing. I think it's only then, at least it was for me, it was only then when the things that my parents had done for me really began to sink in. And as children, we learn to equate love with sharing, as we see the things that these children said. And we realize sharing is certainly something a lot of adults need to rediscover. There's too many people in the world today that are greedy and selfish. And much of our economy in this country especially is being driven by corporate greed and things of this nature. And if people learn to share a little more and have a little more compassion for their fellow man, the world would certainly be a much better place to live in. Let's read a little bit of what Paul has to say about this kind of love for one another in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning with verse 1. Though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels, I have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Listen to what Paul's saying here. Even if he does all of these things, if he doesn't do it out of love, he says it's worthless. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Paul's writing here telling the Corinthian brethren that eventually spiritual gifts will pass away, but love will never pass away. Charity, the love, our love as he describes it here, comes from a Greek word, agape, and this describes love in the sense of caring for the well-being of others. And it's certainly something, as we said, needs to be spread around a little more in the world today. The next passage I'd like to read is from Jessica, age 8. You really shouldn't say I love you unless you mean it, but if you mean it, you should say it a lot. People forget. Also from Marianne, age 4, love is when your puppy licks your face even after you left him alone all day. John chapter 3, beginning of verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Here we realize that these children see things often that we do not, especially the little girl that said, love is when your puppy licks your face even after you've left him alone all day. Now, I don't think anybody expect me to get up here and compare God to a puppy, but certainly we can see the connection there. We realize that we can turn our backs on God. He will not turn his backs on us. As we read in the Scriptures, he loved us so much that he sent his Son down here to die for our sins. And Jesus didn't come to the earth and die for all those who are gathered together today in his church to worship him and to remember him through the communion and to sing honor and glory to him and to pray to him. He not only died for them, he died for all those who are out in the world who really could care less whether today's Sunday, whether they should be in church or not. Jesus died for each and every person that would ever live after him until he comes back again. And this is the love that he had, and a love that really surpasses understanding, that God would love us so much that he'd be willing to do that when so many people turn their back on him. But he has the same kind of love as this little girl said her puppy did. Even when she ignored the puppy, it would still come up and love her. And we need to realize that God has that kind of love for us, and we shouldn't be ignoring it. We should embrace it and realize that we can use it to our advantage, and that we can obtain a home in heaven if we return that love and do the things that he asks us to do. The next thing I'd like to read is from Nika, who is age 6. If you want to learn to love better, you should start with a friend you hate. I don't know, I don't think I've ever had any friends that I hated, and I'd like to think that I don't hate anybody. It's kind of interesting the way that was worded, and yet there's a lot of truth in it. Matthew chapter 5, beginning with verse 43. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. We look in the world today, we see a lot of hatred. We see a lot of racial hatred. We see a lot of hatred of people of other cultures and other religions, and we wonder sometimes how this hatred gets perpetuated from generation to generation, and it's because the children are taught that. They see the way that their parents act and behave, and they learn from it, and they as children are often do, sometimes to the good, sometimes to their detriment, they tend to be just like their parents. And if the parents are those who are prejudiced or have hatred for others, that's something that they're going to pass on to their children. And again, this is something that's very important for us to be aware of as examples to others, not only as examples to our own children, but to other children that we may be around, and especially the children here in the congregation. We need to realize that that God is love, and that we shouldn't have any prejudice, and we certainly shouldn't pass those along. And we also realize that if people in the world would wake up and wouldn't continue to pass this on from generation to generation, this kind of hatred would stop. It seems to be the folly of man that that this is a cycle that's going to be repeated until Jesus comes again, that people can't get over their discrimination or their hatred for others. And half the time, if you ask them why they hated someone they said they didn't like, they couldn't tell you. It becomes like a second nature to them, and it's something that they don't think about. And it's important for us to think about the things that this this little child's remarks remind us of that we are to, as Christians, we're to love, we're not to hate. And if there's someone that we have bad feelings for, we need to correct it. And we realize that the world would be a better place if more people were like that. And certainly if we can be examples to others, perhaps we can influence them. Next thing I'd like to read is about a little child who was 4 years old. And this child did was actually the winner, so to speak, of a contest that was devised to find the most caring child. It says, the winner was a four-year-old child whose next-door neighbor was an elderly gentleman who had recently lost his wife. Upon seeing the man cry, the little boy went into the old gentleman's yard, climbed onto his lap, and just sat there. When his mother asked what he had said to the neighbor, the little boy said, nothing, I just helped him cry. I'd like now to read from Psalms 139, beginning with verse 1. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Excuse me. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Whether shall I go from thy spirit, or whether shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light upon me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! We see in the Psalm one who describes the fact that no matter where you go, no matter what you do, God sees you. God knows where you are. God knows what you're doing. God is there. And in times when we feel alone, as no doubt this older gentleman felt alone, and the child just could sense that and wanted to be with that person, and he felt like he didn't have to say anything. He was just there. And when we find ourselves in times such as this, when we feel alone or in despair, we realize that there are certainly people that we can turn to, but if we can find no one else to turn to, we realize God will never turn from us if we don't turn from Him. No matter what we do, no matter where we are, we can go to Him. We can seek forgiveness from Him if we've done things that are wrong. We can seek comfort from Him in times of trouble, as we see this psalm so well points out. And whenever we feel ourselves in that kind of a state, this is certainly a good place to turn in our Bibles and to read. And again, that was Psalms number 139. And it tells us that no matter where we are, God is there. Our last thing we're going to read this morning comes from Billy, age 4. When someone loves you, the way they say your name is different. You just know that your name is safe in their mouth. Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Jesus tells us here that if we confess Him before men, if we tell men, if we say that we believe that He is the Son of God, and we confess it before men, and we also confess it by the way that we live our lives, He says that He will confess us before the Father which is in heaven. He'll go before God, and He'll say our name, and how great that name must sound, how great it is for us to realize and know that Jesus is up there making intercession for us, acting as our advocate, telling God that we are doing the best that we can to serve Him. And we realize that that our name is special because our name is being presented to God by Jesus if we're living the life that we're supposed to live. And we certainly realize that that's something that we would want and desire for Jesus to do. And the only way that that's possible for us is to become a child of God. We realize we must repent of the life that we've lived after hearing what it is that Jesus has done for us and believing it. We must repent of the life that we've lived before, realize the things that are contrary to the Word of God have to be put out of our lives. Just as we see these children as young and as innocent, as uneducated as we might think they are, they seem to have a sense about what's right and wrong, especially the way God intended things to be. And we have to go back to that. We have to forget the things that we've done in the past. We have to embrace a new pattern for our lives, one that's acceptable to God, and one that can only be found in the Scriptures. And when we repent of the life that we've lived and decide to live that way, and we confess Jesus before men, just as we read here in the Scripture, we are baptized and we become a child of God, and that begins a journey. We're on the right path. Anytime we're going to go somewhere, we need a map or directions. And if you get the wrong directions, you realize you're going to end up in a place you don't want to be, not the place you intended to go. If we intend to go to heaven, we realize that these steps start our journey, and from that point forward, we have to work towards making sure that our life is in keeping with the Scriptures, so that on the day of judgment, Jesus will say our name again, and He will say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." That's a lesson this morning. If there are those who desire the services of the church, won't you come forward while we stand and sing?